Hello everyone, Bruce Edwin here with HollywoodSentinel.com, and I'm speaking today with the legendary Tracy Reiner. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing good. Thank you. Tracy, we've known each other for years, and I'm just always excited to speak with you. You're such an interesting person to me, and I think to anyone that likes Hollywood, you're just fascinating. So, of course, your mom is, the famous Penny Marshall. You starred in her great film that's one of my absolute all-time favorites, A League of Their Own, and that film alone has just really just taken on a life of its own. I know there's so much going on with that. Apollo 13 you were in, When Harry Met Sally, another one of my favorite films, and really your family has made some of my most favorite films ever. And so thank you, for all you do. What is new with you? Where kind of fill us in here, what's going on in your world?
Well, actually, I've taken a year in Los Angeles to a family house up in New Mexico in Taos area. And so I'm up here and writing and doing some things, but I just spent a year doing the 75th anniversary of the League, the actual playoffs for the League of Their Own. So we spent most of last year doing public appearances and throwing out first pitches and egging on Major League Baseball to finally organize Women's Baseball League.
Well, that's really cool. Now, you mentioned New Mexico you're hanging out in now. I know you've got some roots in New Mexico, and this is an interesting state in itself, from what I've heard about and what you've told me about. And I believe you've got some NASA connections. Speaking of Apollo 13, what are some of, the connections going on and what's happening with that?
With that, well, my connection is that my uncle's worked on the actual, worked for most of the space organizations, but he worked on the original Apollo 13.
Wow.
And so I had to give him all of my crew gifts and cast gifts.
Wow.
And his friends were impressed. And then I haven't really been doing stuff with that except my own interest in aeronautics. But that was an amazing experience. So I get to do a lot of really amazing military, mostly for baseball. The adult military baseball league is about to start, and hoping to do some work with them. And, sort of rah-rahing different aspects of the films I've done by showing up and participating. But I have a family member who works for the Atomic Energy Commission, and years ago in San Diego and Los Alamos and Kirtland Air Force Base and stuff like that. So it's been interesting having perspectives on both sides of the world, if you will, imagination and space.
Well, that's fascinating. I mean, that alone right there, it's your entire family are world famous, including yourself, and have made some of the best films of all time. And then you've got members working at a family working at NASA and the Atomic Energy Commission. How did this all happen? I mean, when you were growing up, you were a child, and
nothing about either side. I didn't know much of anything.
You didn't.
Or just my family.
Okay.
There were people who brought it to my attention.
So when did it dawn on you? Take us back. You're a little girl growing up. When did you realize, like, okay, I am it. My life is amazing. My family is incredible, and I live in this surreal world. When did it dawn on you?
Somewhere between my mom and stepfather splitting up and us living between Dory Vidal and Tommy Chong, I guess. And being in a world of my mom, Saturday Night Live, and Carrie Fisher, and a lot of different things that, to us are crazy, but it was kind of normal to me.
Yeah.
You adjust quite a bit because you don't notice. You really have no idea what anyone does. They're just your relatives, and you see them, and you eat, and you talk, and you share information, but there's no objective perspective, really. I mean, I had more of a perspective earlier on. from people reacting to my parents being on television, I guess, than like the perspective I might look at it with now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely incredible. Now, I know that you've been involved in, when I kind of jump into this, he's obviously been in the news not long ago and, you know, here and there. Dennis Rodman, this project, can you talk about that or is it something you can discuss?
It's to me, you know, we're sort of doing a feature film, a documentary about fame, you know, sports saving you and fame ruining you and trying to balance the two. And then all of these events started to happen. And so I pulled it because we need to just wait and see. But ultimately, it's a story about redemption. That's just everything in my family's repertoire. And it was a friendship between my mom and Dennis. And
wow.
Basically, the leader of North Korea is saying, I want to bring kids sports camps to my children here.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with politics at all, Europe.
Huh.
Mom is not political like that. So
right
now, it's more like having the waiting cameras, seeing what's going to happen. I'm much more interested in being able to look back. But we did interview Trump and did interview quite a few people. And it's 90 minutes over for the interviews. And it's just a story about finding that place in yourself and losing it and everyone's struggle up the mountain, if you will.
Incredible. So I couldn't help but...
It's an international topic in a way. And now we need to see what happens.
Exactly. Now, you said I didn't miss what you said. Maybe some of our listeners hopefully didn't, but you said you interviewed Trump. I mean, what is that about? What was that like?
Well, Dennis was on The Apprentice, and Dennis and Trump have a relationship. And
of course.
It was more just getting him to speak about his friend, which is what it is. It's not a political piece.
Okay.
But it happens to cut over, so we're just making sure that it's done well.
Okay, so you didn't discuss politics or, you know, you didn't, okay, you didn't bring your stepdad, Rob Reiner, there, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, diplomacy.
Diplomacy, key, right?
And, you know, I come from a family of very loud speakers. You don't want to gaslight anyone under any circumstance over anything.
Right.
You know, any memory, you know, yourself. So, basically, they're all separate, very separate things.
Sure.
And it's a sports movie.
Sure. So that just a sole objective and that was it. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, like a martial movie. It's a story that will make you feel and look with new eyes at something and get that feeling in your throat. And you know, you got to wait to see what it's about. But that's the consistent formula and why it was started. It had nothing to do with politics.
Interesting.
Yeah. And who knows what it'll end up being, but right now it's just a sports movie.
Right. Now, speaking of, I don't want to, it's kind of hard not to go into this, but there's so much that's happened since in the world, in Hollywood and politics, since you and I have last kind of spoken in depth for at least for an interview. What are your thoughts on things now? I know this is kind of a vague or general question, but just in regard to the state of the industry, the state of Hollywood, now I know we're kind of into the, I don't know what, maybe the second year of the, you know, Me Too movement and things like that. And, you know, I know your stepdad, as I mentioned, as everyone knows, Rob Reiner has been very vocal, getting a lot of, you know, on news. What are your thoughts on all of this?
My pleasure. A lot of people want to get me to talk about Rob, but I don't because he's his own spokesperson completely. Just a family member. And it's a really strange position to be in because it's a very wild thing to watch, this whole thing. I'm grateful because it's important. I think the list is very incomplete. But at the same time, these are people that I've known my whole life that are being accused in some cases.
Mm.
So it affects my perspective of my life and my business.
Right.
These are people I grew up with, and I have more relationship with people that because we grew up around each other than because we ever worked together.
Sure.
So my concerns are for people personally as much as they are if they need help, and also much more than for the industry itself. The industry is the giant marketing machine. I'm not worried about show business, but Hollywood, I think it's rather in need of massive change.
Yeah.
So I'm very much for change and very much in support of women speaking out. But as far as some of the accusations in the processes and the things are very strange. It's just, I'm really no spokesperson for it.
Sure.
Because I'm only hearing about how it's affecting people personally.
Right.
How is the box office doing? Who cares? There's people who worked for years and never said, some of it's vendetta, some of it's, I don't know what it's turning into, but it's turning into something huge.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Just listening.
Yeah. Now, we hear, I'm kind of jumping out perhaps in left field here with this next question or thought in my mind, but we hear a lot of people say, speaking, particularly with the political divide now, people put kind of Hollywood into the camp of, the leftists or liberals or things of that sort. And I understand and respect that you don't want to really play into that,
I don't do sports teams. I don't do colors. I don't do politics, religions. I don't deal with that part to talk about or the process of, how we make our decisions. I think that media has become incredibly manipulative, and what it's feeding people is very dangerous because it's just gaslighting vernacular, and I don't know what the ultimate goal is. I'm not a scholar on that. I can feel it. I can feel when someone's not telling the truth, and it's creepy. I mean, the one thing about acting is it makes you do know what the truth is.
Right.
So it's really hard to watch some of it. A little bit.
Now, when you said a big statement there, and I want to kind of jump on that, you said that media is being very manipulative, and I don't disagree. I know that even just being a reporter, investigative journalist, at times myself, I am walking into things with my own viewpoints or agenda, perhaps. But what do you mean by that?
To write from personal perspective.
Pardon me?
You're a journalist who writes from personal perspective.
Right.
In journalism now, they seem to try to align themselves with it's a play on pronouns.
Yeah.
Wag the world. I mean, I was lucky enough to be around instead of Wag the Doggett. This is Wag the World. And as someone who works in media, there's no boss of show business. That's my biggest critic. And that's a bigger subject.
There's no what?
There's no boss. Every other industry and company has a boss. There's no boss of show business.
Yeah.
You can't go and report it to someone. There's no boss. I've asked for years.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the boss? Who's the coolest mom? Who's the person? And there isn't one.
Right. So there's no accountability for ethics or...
accountability, exactly.
Okay.
I think that's what's more precarious.
Interesting.
In the detail.
Who do you feel now? I just spoke with an interesting writer. I'll share that later. But I brought up Noam Chomsky, and when you mentioned media controlling basically public opinion or inference that, I'm thinking of his old book, Manufacturing Consent. Who do you think? Do you think it is that now? Is it these multinationalist, Google, global corporations, or companies like that, and including that, or do you think it's more covert persons or groups we don't know about? And if so, who?
Probably both. It's always been both, no?
Yeah.
one feed the other. I don't know. That's what I mean. There's nobody in show business who goes, all right, I'll go out there. I'm the boss. It's precariously funded everywhere, and everybody has their own little institution, but there's no, you can't. That's why it's been they're trying to start committees. They're trying to start trying to get the Women's Club of Hollywood to host some forums on comfortable speaking environments to tell the truth about what's been going on. So,
yeah.
It's too bad change and changing people. It's making people understand as much as we have all these services that make things easier and more entertaining, we're having less and less responsibility and perspective, and that's not good. And so we'll see. Yeah, see, you know, it's a test of, like, is it going to work? It's statistical analysis of human reaction on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
You're taking a test. Everything's a giant survey.
Interesting.
Everything, and so that's just statistical data collecting, and, you know, it's just about knowing what it is, not just pretending, you know, everything's chocolate flavored potato chips.
Yeah.
And it's there for a dollar, and I'm going to have that. So, you know, it seems like an old dilemma. I think anytime there's been new steps forward, there's always crisis and change and people, and but I think it's being gaslit right now.
Do you think it's being what?
I think it's being very gaslit right now, pretty extreme.
By who would you say predominantly? Or is it both so-called sides of the political divide?
You know, it's six companies that own everything. It's mutual. It's just verbiage. There's things happening that if I wrote it, I'd get notes on.
Yeah.
Weird things. Like, you know, it's just curious. Verbiage. Declarations, people, news, articles, the way they bold print everything to make you read it. It's just marketing.
Interesting. Yes.
As opposed to someone sitting and singing an acoustic song on the guitar, you know, everything is so manufactured now. And so they do that with a lot of money for a result.
Yes. Definitely.
It's humans, people, doing it.
What is the solution? I mean, are you optimistic about having, you know, a change, a revolution, people waking up, or what are your thoughts on it?
I think people are waking up. I think it's amazing to have a library, an international library in your phone. But I also, you know, it's very hard to deal with a lot of these things. I speak at, I spoke at a college in New Jersey to a class of graduate students who are studying psychotherapy to help people gain their degrees. And spoke about what they are going to have to prepare themselves for, with people talking about what's happened to them and trauma and
right.
I think from school shooting, and everybody's going to know somebody. There's very few degrees of separation, and with the internet, it makes everybody feel very interpersonal about it. And how are they from a media activated? Yes, some of it's, you know, real life traumas. But then exacerbate that. But how and what are they going to provide to deal with some of this that's coming up?
Exactly.
People's minds.
Right, right. I mean, I personally, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, I go to sleep with my phone under my pillow, you know, and it's like I'm looking, I'm glued to the thing right before I go to sleep. It's ridiculous, but I'm constantly plugged in. And I mean, is that a bad thing? What?
I think it's a really bad thing.
Exactly. And that's right where they want us, right?
To the truth. I think you already kind of know the truth.
Yeah.
On this giant multiple choice quiz in front of everyone.
Yeah.
It's supposed to define something, but I don't know that it really does. I think it's just highly manipulative.
Interesting. Well, we could discuss this as we both know for...
No, devil details, but basically, it's a giant quiz show. We're all waiting to see what happens.
Amazing. Well, Tracy, you know, I think so much of you, and I have a huge, huge respect for you, and I like to think of you, and hope we are, you know, like a friend. I want to take, before, I know your time's valuable, but I want to kind of switch gears, if we may, for 1 minute before we wrap up. I consider you, and not just your family, of course, your family, but you personally, I know, are really just an expert at storytelling. And I know this to be true from the discussions we've had. I think you're just brilliant as a storyteller and with your analysis and writing and everything. What, for the writers of the world out there, filmmakers, storytellers, writers of the world out there, what makes a great story in your view? What should they convey?
It's all in how structure the delivery of the message you're giving. And it's a little bait switch at the beginning. If you listen and then you say what the truth is, there's got to be a morality clock. There's a, what's the point? Why are you telling me this action adventure? Why are you, and maybe it'll save the world. You know, you have to introduce, you know, what they call taglines in a way that
yes.
turns it into food, that makes it the delivery of actual information that makes you feel better or learn something about something or yourself. And
I love that.
It's very organic. And when you have it in real life, I got tired of simulating real life. And
yeah.
started to relive it more. And
it's great.
That, you know, you have these instincts. I can't say, oh, I owe it all to acting. Some of my instincts were because I learned the truth from people when we were all acting that it wasn't the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can tell your story that way, reverse. but the delivery of the core of your message is the thing that has to be the ta-da, the que viva, there it is.
Yes.
And as long as you can really feel that, it doesn't matter if it's a story about a cat. They do it in 3-minute clips on the internet.
Yeah.
And so I find it about knowing your truth, and there's no arguing about whether they go left or right unless you're actually shooting that day.
Yeah.
Because it's all driving to the reveal of what you're trying to really say by this long-winded version.
So are you saying avoid moral ambiguity? Because I suggest there's a lot of moral ambiguity in Hollywood. People are...
Absolutely. That's a great way to explain it.
Thank you.
Clearly avoid ambiguity, unless that's the complete function of your structure.
Yes.
And if for some reason you're chewing on ambiguity to get to the banana.
Right. Yeah, because I've seen that throughout so much. That's why I love classic Hollywood films, and because there really it was a real sense of right and wrong, and I feel that's kind of devolved in many modern pictures.
Yeah, it is. Well, also, it's all done not with either too many or too few people. It's not even about money. Or the storytelling in itself needs to be able to be done at a table.
Yes.
By one voice, even playing characters. When my family does films, we do many readings and many versions, and we're all really good. I mean, I'm flattered with what you said as a writer, but I'm much better story editor if I can see where something went off.
Yes.
If I'm going, well, wait, what if you didn't say that 3 times, or you didn't make that clear, and they need to know and feel this to be along with what you're trying to say, and I'm good at interjecting and solving. Well, we weren't allowed to do any commentary unless we could solve it growing up.
Unless you could solve it.
Don't chime in on a writer's meeting just because you're the kid in the house unless you can solve it.
Interesting.
That actually gave me a lot of understanding. And so
that's
like,
great.
When I was doing development and writing, it made sense. We took a 3,000-page Brechtian story about the Korean survivors of Hiroshima and turned it into a 90-page story, you know, a la Richard Gere or, you know,
right.
Jeremy Irons or something.
It's amazing.
And that was just by removing commentary, because you can only show it.
Sure.
So you have to make sure these characters show, you know, what they're doing and what they're feeling, and that's really clear, you know.
Right.
And a lot of times you can insinuate enough that the brain will do it on the viewer, but a lot of times you're not. But that's where people get confused. Sometimes you feel like very stupid movies. But I'll even give it to them that it gets everybody involved. It's simple enough.
Right.
Everyone participates. So they are accomplishing, you know, entertainment.
Well, I love that. I love that. I got 3 really big things from what you said, and well, actually 4 things, but as a writer, 3 things. You mentioned a tagline, having a strong tagline and developing that, and then also really educating or letting the audience feel something good, feel something positive. And I think that's so powerful. I mean, there's so many. I watched a film or rather a documentary or whatever it was, something on Netflix the other day. It was interesting, but it was so, I just felt sick afterwards. I mean, I felt like so horrible. I'm like, it was this guy that, I don't know, I won't digress on it, but.
Well, remember, 2 hours in the dark focusing on something is more attention than we give to the people we love ever get now. So when you're dragged into a story and you're there for that, and it doesn't make sense, and it's not very humanistic or whatever, it does become very disruptive.
Well, that's sadly true.
Either manipulation or stupidity.
It's very sadly true, right?
Bad storytelling.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to invite people's being to learn something. That's the, whether it's remembering how to laugh or forgiving or loving or caring or getting over it or getting revenge, whatever the storyline is.
Yes.
Those are human emotions, and if you're fed something that's completely, you know, you're told one thing and it becomes something else, or they didn't take care of that element in it, or, and it's not just, well, can't please all the people, that's absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
You're already making choices going into the process of, hey, let's go see this movie, and certain things are expected from a hero movie, or from a... And it's because that helps the human process, not because they just want to see it that way.
Right.
It actually is like a digestive function if you actually give them the food to eat. You know, and then we kind of give them really bad popcorn and carbonated sodas and horrible.
Yeah.
And having, you know, experiences, and I find that hasn't changed. Well, and that's why so many people like to do it at home, being healthy and watching what they want and viewing what they want.
Well, exactly.
So,
yeah, and thinking of all the films you've been in and been involved in, and just looking at the list, I mean, they're all really just, they're classics, but they're also, I just have memories of them, like looking at, thinking of Apollo 13, or When Harry Met Sally, or, you know, I feel good when I think of them.
You can be crying and everything.
What's that?
People knew me, too. Because I could deliver the tears, and everybody knew what I was sad about at the time, so I could do that.
Right.
And it was reliable. I'm really not a ambitious, hey, I want to go to the restaurants, the me show kind of person at all. Or the utility player, when a filmmaker has something they need to accomplish. That's what my uncle was like. He's like, you're reliable. I tell you, people can scream in front of you, you'll do what I did.
Well, exactly.
That's what I say. If I have an elaborate camera shot, I'm going to hire you. You know, because you won't care if it's Al Pacino in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't. And they'll yell at you, and we'll discuss it later. You know, things like that. And that's a reliability of the filmmaker that you want to have, and, you know, hopefully at least half your cast.
And absolutely. So, that's what.
Me only challenging around so much, that became a reliability factor in my, you know, repertoire, being able to show up. And also, I would do anything. I would be a PA, I would be an assistant, I would be a script girl, I would be a casting assistant, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Well, that's...
And most people don't have that attitude at all. God has sent them this magic power of tap. They have to do this one thing, and I never felt that.
Well, no, they don't. I know that to be true, and I've been on enough movies as a producer where people think they can be the director when they have zero credits as a feature director, and it's like, well, you've got to, you know, let's sell a script first. So,
there's some people who are really smart, should be given a chance, and haven't been.
Exactly.
Not how they make you pay up.
Exactly. They have to pay their dues if they're going to work with the studio, typically.
I was always told if you stay long enough, you work. So.
Well, Tracy, it's always a great pleasure and honor to speak with you. Any other final thoughts or comments you want to tell our listeners before we...
I'm on the board of the Women's Club of Hollywood and the International Women's Baseball Museum. And...
Excellent.
Any super ergo engineers of permaculture and food forests want to platform their thing, and they need a space. I have an acre of land up here. trying to sort of beg me a project onto something.
Excellent.
But if you have the space, I'm not going to fund them, but I have the space.
Well, that's very cool. We'll put a link in for a way of contact.
Yeah, and to, you know, support women's baseball. Girls want to play, and what else? We've been doing the Jimmy Davis Institute, and really remodeling house.
Well, Tracy,
the students thought of me as remodeling house and going to garages. And I spent things up here for 25 years, but I found some amazing movie memorabilia, including for that I had, and some amazing stuff. So we do have a eBay event going on.
Excellent. And I know you speak, I don't bring this up, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you speak not just, you're fluent in French, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I went to the Lycée Français. I wouldn't say I'm fluent, but okay. I can fake anybody out.
Well, you so fake me out.
Talking philosophy and but
yeah.
Then I start speaking Argot. But I speak some French and Italian, and I studied Japanese, and I studied Russian to go on a big trip with a bunch of actors years ago, and I didn't get to go. I wasn't famous enough. But we still hung out at the time, and we got a bunch of awards in musicals.
Well,
yeah. Called Young Artists United, and what else? Yeah, so.
You're fascinating to me, Tracy, always have been. I love speaking with you and knowing you. Thank you for your time. Listeners, Hollywood Sentinel.
Speak to you soon. You can always get in touch with me through Bruce Edwin or my Facebook or social media, Twitter. Anyway, thank you
Thank you so much, Tracy Reiner. You have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.